said Truckle. "Well, I thought if I could borrow Evil Harry's helmet, I could slip in as a Valkyrie maiden," said Vina.
"Good, sensible thinking," said Evil Harry. "There's bound to be a few of them around."
"And Harry won't need it, because in a minute he's going to make an excuse about his leg or his back or something, and how he can't come in with us," said Cohen in conversational voice. "On account of him having betrayed us. Right, Harry?"
The game was getting more exciting. Most of the gods were watching now. Gods enjoy a good laugh, although it has to be said that their sense of humour is not subtle. Blind Io, the elderly chief of the gods, said,
"I suppose there is no harm they can do us."
"No," said Fate, passing the dice box. "If they were very intelligent, they would not be heroes."
There was the rattle of a die, and one flew across the board and then began to spin in the air, tumbling faster and faster. Finally, it vanished in a puff of ivory.
"Someone has thrown uncertainty," said Fate.
He looked along the table.
"Ah, my lady."
"My lord," said the lady. Her name was never spoken, although everyone knew what it was. Speaking her name aloud would mean that she would instantly depart. Despite the fact that she had very few actual worshippers, she was, nevertheless, one of the most powerful of the deities on the disc, since in their hearts nearly everyone hoped and believed that she existed.
"And what is your move, my dear?" said Io.
"I have already made it," said the lady, "but I've thrown the dice where you can't see them."
"Good, I like a challenge," said Io. "In that case..."
"If I may suggest a diversion, sir," said Fate smoothly.
"And that is?"
"Well, they do want to be treated like gods," said Fate, "so I suggest we do so."
"Are you saying that we should take them seriously?" said Offler.
"Up to a point. Up to a point."
"Up to which point?" said the lady.
"Up to the point, madam, where it ceases to amuse."
On the veldt of Hoanderland live the Entuitif people, the only tribe in the world to have no imagination whatsoever. For example, their story about the thunder runs something like this. Thunder is a loud noise in the sky, resulting from the disturbance of air masses by the passage of lightning. And their legend, How the Giraffe Got His Long Neck, runs, "In the old days, the ancestors of Old Man Giraffe had slightly longer necks than any other grassland creatures, and the access to the high leaves was so advantageous that it was mostly long-necked giraffes that survived, passing on the long neck in their blood just as a man might inherit his grandfather's spear. Some say, however, that it is all a lot more complicated, and this explanation only applies to the shorter neck of the Okapi, and so it is." The Entuitif are a peaceful people, and have been hunted almost to extinction by neighbouring tribes who have lots of imagination, and therefore plenty of gods, superstitions, and ideas about how much better life would be if they had a bigger hunting ground. Of the events on the moon that day, the Entuitif said, "The moon was brightly lit, and from it rose another light which then split into three lights and faded. We do not know why this happened. It was just a thing." They were then wiped out by a nearby tribe who knew that the lights had been a signal from the god Ukli to expand the hunting ground a bit more. However, they were soon defeated entirely by a tribe who knew that the lights were their ancestors who lived on the moon and who were urging them to kill all non-believers in the goddess Glypso. 3 years later, they in turn were killed by a rock falling from the sky as a result of a star exploding a billion years ago. What goes around comes around. If not examined too closely, it passes for justice. In the shaking, rattling kite, Rincewind watched the last two dragon pods drop from the wings. They tumbled alongside for a moment, broke up and fell away. He stared at the levers again. Someone, he thought muzzily, really should be doing something with them, shouldn't they? Dragons contrailed across the sky. Now they were free of the pods, they were in a hurry to get home. The wizards had created Thurlow's interesting lens just above the deck. The display was quite impressive.
"Better than fireworks," observed the Dean.
Ponder banged on the omniscope.
"Ah, it's working now," he said, "but all I can see is this huge..."
More of Rincewind's face than a giant nose became visible as he drew back.
"What levers do I pull? What levers?"